Everyone, welcome to the next episode of Beach Court Podcast. I'm joined by Parker Greenwall and Max Corcoran. This weekend, we had a League Cup here in Jacksonville. That was a lot of fun. We'll talk about the results of that today. We'll also talk about everyone's exciting news today. We had some new Worlds information for next year drop, point structures, how you're going to get to Worlds. So that's going to be a very interesting topic. Very excited to talk about that with you guys and get your opinions on, you know, where everything's gone this year. And then we'll also talk about, you know, our favorite segment, Youngster versus Gym Leader. We're going to see if Maddox can come back this week. He's down by 1 point. Not really sure if he can get it back, but I'll try and stump him this week.
We haven't even gotten to the segment yet, and you're already doubting me.
I'm just saying, my question's going to be tough today. I don't know if either of you are going to get it.
All right, we'll see.
I just want to thank everyone for your support. Last episode, we really appreciate everyone's likes, comments, and subscribes. Love to hear from you today because we're going to be looking forward to some learning content. You know, as we talk about Worlds, everyone's got to do better and earn those points this year. So we want to bring some learning content to you guys. So drop us a comment and tell us what you're excited to learn about this year or anything you want to learn from us, you know, as it relates to the competitive Pokemon TCG scene. But this week is an exciting week, guys. We're going to Worlds. We're leaving from Japan this week. You guys pack your bags yet?
Not entirely.
Don't you leave before us?
I do.
Park, like literally 72 hours from now, Parker will be on a plane to Japan.
Yes.
And that's wild. Yeah.
Have you packed a single item yet?
Yes. One bag is completely packed. Okay. One bag is completely packed.
Are you taking 10 bags or two?
I'm going to be taking at least two with my the backpack. But we'll see how all that goes because I've already had a ton of people asking to, you know, bring me back this thing. And
if we can, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. How about you, Maddox? You pack your bags yet?
There's been a lot of buzz about Gen Pow lately, so I picked up a Gen Pow EX battle deck, and I threw that in my backpack for Worlds. Other than that, I still haven't got any clothes or anything, but I got the battle deck, so I'm good for my pick. That's pretty solid in there. It comes with one Gen Pow. I think I'll be fine.
Just one Gen Pow is enough?
Line too.
Yeah. It comes with Excalibur line, you know.
Any rare candies or just Artibax?
Rare candies too.
Okay, you got some candies. All right, cool. Well, Parker, you were judging the League Cup this weekend, so you didn't get to play, but how'd it go?
Well, it went pretty good. We had three people from Jacksonville make it. Two Chen Pao decks that actually ended up mirroring in top 8, and then we had another Lost Giratina deck. But he did not beat the demons in top 8.
Same list I played last weekend to make a top 4
cup. Eric's exact list. They actually ID'd round 2, which I'm sure he will, or round 3, I'm sorry, that I'm sure that Eric will get more into, but I think it is an unwise decision there.
Yeah, I'm interested once we get into that and kind of how I did. I'm interested to hear your opinions on that and kind of what you think, you know, when you should or shouldn't ID with a friend when you're at a cup.
Right.
So what ended up making top 8?
So in top 8, we had two Chen Pao decks, a Turbo Box, a Gardevoir. We also had an Arc Pile, so it was Arctina with Pikachu. We had a Fusion Mew, we had Lost Tina, and we had Colorless Lugia, which ended up taking it all, actually.
Colorless Lugia won?
Yep.
Isn't Lugia dead? I thought it was a brick of a deck.
Well, I think he bricked a couple times, but he was able to overcome the bricks. The deck's just super resilient, I suppose.
Do you remember what his record was? Did he 4-0 ID first?
He was 4-1 and ID'd with Sam the last round. And then played against Mitch in top 8.
Yep. Sadly, took down my list. It wasn't me playing it, so not sure, you know, if he piloted it perfectly or not. I probably wouldn't have either. That matchup's really weird.
With the Snorlaxes, you just throw at you every turn.
The Snorlax with Charm, if they get the Charm on it, it's just so strange.
You know, yeah, and I think
Shred's cool, but doesn't go through Charm.
Yeah, and I think right now, like, it's interesting with Giratina, Lost Zone Giratina being so popular right now, seeing Colorless Lugia kind of come out of nowhere in this tournament. And none of the decks in top 8 kind of quite seemed ready to counter it. Or if that could keep up with it. It's not a deck that we really think about much, but it did well here. Did that, I know, Eric Parker, y'all have played Lugia a lot more than me. Has that made you think about picking up a colorless again, or are you just writing it off as a unlucky?
It's really strong to be able to attack turn two, like even if you don't get the Archeops out. You know, if you just have a even a therapeutic or a V-Guard and a double turbo, you're hitting for 160 turn two, even if you don't summoning star. So maybe there's some merit to like running a like 2 to 3 Snorlax line. Mm-hmm. You know, just saying like, oh, if I don't get Lugia out, I'm attacking with that. But I'm pretty sure he didn't run an out to Dura on his list unless he was playing Path. I don't know.
He played two paths.
So. Played two path. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So it's just like it's so inconsistent to find that, and it just feels like there's a lot of Dura in the meta right now. He just avoided it. You know, just dodged a weave.
Yeah. He did, yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, Kolos Lugia definitely super strong to just like throw a Snorlax with the charm. Like even if you're not one shotting, just that damage output versus like any two prize deck is like probably enough to overcome it.
I mean, I played Arceus Tina to NAIC and I played against Kolos Lugia one round. Mm. And literally game three, I judged pathed him because that's what we're supposed to do, obviously. And just shut him out of Archeops literally the whole game.
Yeah.
But I was two-shotting every one of his Snorlaxes and he's two-shotting me because, again, he doesn't need Archeops to set it up. So by the end of the game, he's taking four prizes. I own himself to two, hits Mesogoza Jet Energy, hits heads on Mesogoza to get the Lugia V-Star, and then just Weir Deers me for game. And it's just like, okay, I mean, that's disgusting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they can just keep hitting stuff. So what did he play against in the finals?
In the finals, he played against Fusion Mew, which after I saw their starting hands, I didn't see Lugia's starting hand, but he started Meloetta, Fusion, Ultra Ball, Battle Pass, Genesect. Like, he started a good hand, so I'm assuming he got like some kind of turn one knockout. But I don't know.
I mean, if Lugia is smart, they just leave a one prizer in the active, like a Snorlax, right?
Right. Yeah. I didn't see what he started, but I'm assuming he started a one prizer and was able to, you know, crawl back after that. I do know that he ran Drapion in his list. Mm-hmm. That definitely put in a lot of work in those two games in the finals.
I'm sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Weirdeer, how many energy does Weirdeer need to blow up a Mew? Like, just think about it, right? You just bench Drapion, you Archeops the two other Pokemon, right? Mm-hmm. And then Drapion on that turn. Then next turn, when they knock out the Drapion, you promote the something else and then retreat into that and just bring all the energies up with one of the Archeops and... Weirdeer, it feels like it's not too bad, right? It's probably pretty good.
Yeah, honestly.
So, you know, that's probably why he won. If I had to guess, I didn't see the match either. We had left early.
Yeah, I mean, and the math also gets weird for Mew again, just like if you have to two-shot it. For example, like if you have to double turbo swing into it, hitting 190 with a charm, like you're two-shotting a Snorlax with Mew VMAX unless you use a power tablet. Like that just feels awful, right? You have to use a power tablet to KO one prizer. So it definitely makes some weird math. I know that like a lot of Mew decks might play rope to get around that like Snorlax in the active, but a lot of times, you know, it's that question of can Lugia get, you know, one or two Lugias in play to prevent the donk, also have something to rope into. Like there's definitely some early situations that's weird and it never feels good to have to take a one prizer with a turn two or a turn one attack with Fusion Mew.
Yeah, I mean, I think the weakness of Mew nowadays is that it can't judge path really easily. Like they usually don't run more than like one or two paths at most.
If any.
So, yeah, if any. And, like, that used to be the Mew strategy to beat Lugia. So, like, now it just feels like a really bad matchup for them.
Exactly. I mean, the Fusion Mew list I ran this weekend, I played zero path and zero judge. So, it was just, no, I didn't have a chance to do that.
So, you played Fusion Mew. How'd that go?
I did. I was kind of between a few different options. And there was a list that I had seen a little while ago before NAIC. I tried a game or two of it and kind of wrote it off and then went back to it. This was Fusion Mew with Squawkabilly EX. Really, the idea to just go as fast as possible. You always go second. And honestly, I think every single round except for one, I had the turn one KO, which that on its own is very strong, right? Against the Chen Pao, I was able to Pokemon Catcher up a two prizer on the first turn after Sparkling and Meloetta KO it. And they just conceded the second game or in turn two. Sometimes I was squawkabilling away three energy because that's what I had in my hand and I still needed to play the game. So you definitely run into some weird situations. I ended up 3-3. I did play against a couple of the folks in top eight, including the Arc Pile and the Turbo Lost Box. So I played against both of them. I mean, they're both very strong opponents. The Arc Pile game was weird. And then the Turbo Lost Box game, I made a misplay at the end that put me out of it. But I mean, it's a stacked cup, especially, you know, so much talent in Jacksonville. Plus when you bring in some folks from Orlando or other surrounding areas in Georgia, and you get some strong talent that shows up. So they're always a good time.
Yeah, we had 50 people, so we got top 16 points, right? Yeah. So we'll get to my run. So we talked about Chin Pao dominating the meta recently, and it really has been locally. And our meta is probably 30% Chin Pao, I would say, lately. So yeah. I went with a Zamazenta Lost Box that had Zamazenta, Snorlax, and Kyogre for all the other matchups. I didn't Kyogre once. I got close to it in one of my matchups versus a Gardy. Just didn't get the right energies off my prizes, and there was a gate prize. It was just really awkward. There was a situation where I could have done it that turn and won, but I needed to hit 5 energies, not 4, and I can only do 4. So I could have forced a tie in that game. I'd already had one tie because of the ID we'll talk about in a second, but I didn't want to force a tie. I wasn't playing a tie. I'm playing to win the cup because, right, 50, like, we'll get to the awards points in a minute, but 50 points matters. You know, just getting top 16 doesn't, it's okay, but like, I'm going to replace it, hopefully. Right. So
yeah.
I played Lumineon on my list for consistency instead of Pokégear because I hate that card sometimes. It just, you whiff on it and it's just terrible. So I played Lumineon and he had a really thick deck and only a 2-card hand. He was drawing only 4 cards because I counted all of his basic energies, but I didn't count his reversal energy. So he drew his 4 cards, missed, and then had reversal energy to discard Greninja and then hit the boss on those 2 cards to win. Otherwise, I could have Sableye for game the following turn. So that was my one loss of the day, was to Gardy. And then I tied and intentionally drawled round 3. So my thought was going into this round, there was a lot of our friends that were 2-0. Like Maddox was 2-0, I was 2-0. There was like 4 other of us that were 2-0. And I was like, okay, like someone's going to hit each other. And then last weekend in the cup, I was in Tampa last weekend when I got top 4, the guy I went, Gavin, he accidentally tied round 3. Because of like just not a natural tie, and there wasn't top 16, so I guess there was less people, and that's probably what I didn't account for. But he tied and then won his next 2 and just was able to ID the last round, and then I made top cut at 4-1-1, and it was like a clean cut. So I was like, okay, well, I feel confident enough, like through 3 rounds I can go 2-1 and have a good chance at making top cut. And I did just that. I lost my next round to the Guardian we just talked about. And then I won my last 2 opponents, but I had 3 opponents drop. So I missed top cut on resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you mentioned that's probably not wise, the ID there. So like, what's your opinion, Parker?
My opinion, my very, very, very personal opinion is just win, just beat your friend. You know, he's your friend. They'll understand. But I think once you're in like one round short of where you would need to be, so like at this cup, for example, like at 4-0, obviously you're safe to ID, but at this, I would ID at like 3-0 personally. So you're like 3-0-1, you're going to have the like good opponent tiebreakers, like better tiebreakers. And then also you're going to have basically you need to win one of the next 2. Or, yeah, you need to win. Yeah, one of the next 2 to make it.
Go 4-1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because so you're thinking like it's better to ID at 3-0 than it is 2-0.
Yes. Like, I personally, unless it was like a very unfavorable matchup or like,
right,
like something like that, then I honestly would just play.
Understood. Yeah, well, we learn, right?
Exactly. I know, Eric, I remember even in the Pensacola Cup we went to in April or May or whenever that was, we got paired up round 3 and ID'd. And I know it worked out. I know that I think Parker and I both made cut then. But even then, it was kind of, you know, those weird spots where I guess, you know, if it's fine if you get to 4-0-1 or whatever you need to, but good point where if it's maybe worth waiting around for that and just kind of guarantee. And no hard feelings if you're just playing friends, just all right, it's a little more casual, we're just testing, and yeah, there's points, yeah, on the line, but we each want each other to succeed at the same time.
Yeah,
well, I mean, Mitch ended up making top cut, right? So
he did. Yep.
I think maybe I just had some worse opponents round 1 and 2 potentially. I mean, my first opponent went 1-3 drop, so, and he's one of the top players in the city. So I didn't expect that, but you know,
oh, yeah,
you know, that happens. Yeah, I played against four homies.
So it's a local cup.
It's a local cup, yeah. So that was tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know there were a bunch of people that there's like three tables that ID'd like round five to go to like, or like round four to go to like 2-1-1 or something like that. I was like, no, you guys are like, you guys are throwing like, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect that many to tie. And then like I saw table five ID'd round five and I was like, okay, that was strange. I didn't expect those things. So
I didn't either, but
you know, yeah, it just threw off some weird math and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, Zamazenta was really good. It won me like four games. So
yeah,
I can't complain.
That card's really cracked.
Good. Yeah, card's really cracked. So, well, that's the cup that we had this weekend. That was a lot of fun. So now I just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Nakama Anime Cafe. Thanks again for sponsoring us this week, Maddox. How you been today? Been out there lately?
I mean, yeah, I was out there this past Wednesday. I know, you know, the people listening to the podcast, it'll be the day before this comes out. They do a Wednesday night pre-release. So I really like it because you have a chance to do a pre-release during the week because sometimes the weekends just get too busy or you have other cups and tournaments you're going to. But one big event that Nakama Anime Cafe and Bar has coming up that I saw is they actually have a karaoke idol on August 26th. This is a J-pop and K-pop singing competition. Anyone listening can't see Parker's reaction, but I think it's a safe bet that once Parker gets back from Worlds, you'll be able to catch him at Karaoke Idol on August 26th. So big shout out again to Nakama Anime Cafe and Bar in Orange Park for sponsoring us. And actually, for anyone following us on our Twitter and on our Worlds journey, we'll be representing Nakama as well at the World Championships.
Yes, so we will.
Keep an eye out for us there. And again, check out Nakama Anime Cafe for any of your anime drink, food, and karaoke needs.
Matt, actually, you're gonna try and win that idol competition? I know you're a big singer.
I'm a big singer. I know no K-pop unless, you know, no K-pop or J-pop unless, you know, Gangnam Style counts, but I think that's way too outdated to show up there. And
I'm sure someone doesn't sing that song.
I mean, it's karaoke, so the words are on the screen, man. It can't be that hard.
Oh, you read Korean?
Yeah. Most places, yeah, it pops up in Korean.
Okay.
Or whatever language it's in. So, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe you can learn some while you're overseas. All right. So let's transition to our youngster versus gym leader. If you don't know, Parker is the gym leader. Max is the youngster. We'll jump right into it. You touched on the pre-release in 2 days. We're going to be testing your Obsidian Flames knowledge today.
Oh, God.
So I hope you've been doing your homework. So basically, every set has a certain number of EXs. I'm looking to find out how many EXs are in this set.
Oh my God. All right.
Is it like a closest guess gets the point?
Nope,
or we have to get exactly on the number?
You have to get the number. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Without looking, let's see. There's.
We're talking named Pokemon. So like Charizard 1, Charizard 2, Charizard 3 doesn't count?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. So
I did not do any secret rares or anything like that. I just did the base.
All right, so we got Charizard.
Don't forget to message me in the chat for the answer when you get it, when you're ready.
Yeah,
or absolutely. We can get two hints. Got two hints.
I'm going to talk it out with myself. So we got Charizard.
Let's say we can't ever. Do you want to collude, Parker, and talk through some of them together?
Yeah. This is a toughie, so let's get this.
We got Charizard, Absol, yep. Lamora.
Yep. Yep.
Is this what the new Maridon and Caridon are out?
Yes, they're both in the set. There's Houndoom EX, Tyranitar EX, Ice Q EX, Charizard.
You guys are both trying to get like the same amount of points here, and this is hilarious because neither of you like get an advantage, and then Max, you gotta get the answer, the bonus question right.
Just trust me on this one. Let me cook.
Let him cook.
The Charizard, Absol, Glamora, Maridon, Caridon, Houndoom, Tyranitar, Ice Q. Pidgeot.
You did pull that one this weekend.
I did. Reveroom, one that Reveroom. Eric pulled.
I pulled two of them. Two of those Illustrator arts.
Is the Toads cruel in this
that
set?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so we're at 11. There's one more stage two, I think.
What are the hints? I'm curious what the hint would even be.
I mean,
is this gonna be like it's
when
more
you're ready
than
for
10,
the
like,
hints? You
we
tell
gotta
me.
Yeah, we gotta wait for the hint. Ask and we shall receive.
I mean, since you guys are working together, you guys could ask for the hint.
Do you want to, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take a hint for the content.
Sure.
All right. So hint number one is there is only 9 different types of EX. So not every type got an EX. So there's at least 9.
I should have discussed this before, I guess.
Oh, I don't know. Why am I so is there a water type EX? And ice, because ice cubes fire type.
Probably should have just guessed this before the hint. I'm just going to throw.
Okay, Parker has locked in his answer.
Yeah.
Oh, so Maddox? I just help give you answers and you don't even collude with me anymore? Brutal.
Maddox, would you like the last hint?
No, I'm trying to think. Do I go with my list? Because I have 11 typed out on my list. But do I just say I'm going to guess I missed one? So I'll just put 12 in the chat.
Okay. All right. Both of you have locked in the incorrect answer. Okay. Parker locked in 13. Maddox locked in 12. I'll give you guys each an opportunity to earn 1 point really quick because you got the one more hint. So the second hint is this is an important number in an adult's life. I'll give you one more guess if you want to guess it in the chat.
Guess I just put that.
What?
Oh, whoops. I put it. Oh, wait.
No, you gave it to me. You're good.
Okay.
Okay, you both locked in the same number and you were both wrong.
What? No.
I gotta remember, an adult isn't an adult until they're 18. So their important number isn't, they're not an adult until they're 18. So the important
You're
number
telling me
is,
there's 21
there is
EXs
21
in the set?
Different EXs in the set.
Oh, you missed a lot on our list. Colluding sucked. I'm not doing that anymore.
let's name them, I guess.
Okay, I'll run through them. Decidueye EX, Toadstool EX,
okay.
Victini EX, Ice Cube EX, Tyranitar EX, Maddox, your personal favorite, Palmot EX, Maridon EX, Clefable EX, Vespiquen EX, Houndstone EX, Cloth EX, the Glimmer, I don't know how to pronounce the Glimmer, and how do you pronounce that one?
Glimmora
EX,
probably, yeah.
Coridon EX, Charizard EX, Houndoom EX, Absol EX, Melmetal EX is one you didn't get, Reverum EX, Dragonite EX, Pidgeot EX,
Dragonite,
and everyone's favorite Beaver / whatever he is.
Oh, Greedent.
Greedent EX, yes. All right, Maddox, you get one opportunity to level up the score here. There's only one type of Pokemon in the set that did not get a EX. What type is it?
Oh, if I just listened and remembered all the types. I mean, I don't think there was a water type. I said that earlier, and I really don't think there was a water type because Ice Cube isn't one.
Correct.
Because there wasn't, because there's like Houndstone and Dragon. I mean, because yeah, Dragonite's the dragon. Let's go water.
Water's correct. Yes, sir. You leveled it up.
There you go.
Now 2-2. Well done.
Colluding works.
Well done.
I distract Parker, throw him off his game, tie it up in the bonus.
Yes.
Easiest point of my life.
This well Dragonite done. Is terrible.
Yes, it's not
it's
good.
All theme deck stuff.
You Parker. Have to flip a coin and it doesn't attack next turn if you don't hit heads.
Bro, all these flip EXs are, yeah. are not good.
Yeah, flip your head, says the Mew player. All right, so let's jump into the next segment. Maddox, you worked on a really cool graphic today talking about the route to worlds. You want to share that and
sure.
talk about that some?
I'll hop right into it. I mean, so I'm showing off here. You know, I put it on our Twitter already, so anyone who is not already following us at Beach Court Pod on Twitter, I've posted the graphic there, and I've shared it on my personal Twitter as well too. Literally, you know, earlier today when the news came out about the points, and now the new limit is 600. So now everyone in Twitter can get rid of those ?? In their bios and say, hey, they're at 50 out of 600 points or whatever.
Yep.
But my first thought was, okay, how do we get there? Right. Last year it was 350, changed to that, and now it's 600. So I put together a chart kind of a few different ideas, right? I think I would put myself into a category of someone who will be traveling for regionals and wants to try to lean into the game more and see more, go to more ICs and hit a lot of regionals. And you know, who gets tired sometimes of the grind for like cup and challenge points. So I prefer to go to regionals rather than the local stuff. So what's the route for someone like that versus someone who is maybe that local warrior or someone who is maybe kind of far from regionals, but is out in an area where there's a few consistent cups they can go to and are one of the top players in that area who says, hey, I can go and get, you know, I can go and win 4 cups in the next year type of thing, 4 or 5 cups in the next year. Like, what's their route versus, you know, different people, or someone who says, hey, I can't travel to too many regionals. I probably only get, you know, 2, 3, 4 in my belt that I can go to. How well do I need to perform in order to make it?
Yeah. So one of the interesting pieces of the equation, right, is there's only 6 best finish limit for locals, which I think we were all expecting 8, right? I mean, that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of weird, Parker. What do you think about that? Why do you think they did 6 instead of 8?
I'm not sure, honestly. Like, I honestly was a fan of like the 2 per quarter thing, but I do see the argument against it because, like, if someone joins, you know, halfway through the second quarter and there's only like 1 cup in the area, so you've missed out on, you know, 150 points just from cups right there.
Yeah.
But in the past, since I've been playing since 2015, it's always been 8, whether it be 2 per quarter or just 8 total. So I was a bit surprised they did that. Definitely going to make you pull out the credit card a little more for the plane tickets and stuff, but
yeah.
I mean,
in theory, right? Like, look at your graphic here, Maddox, and one of your takeaways on the right side is ICs help tremendously. You know, last year I was able to make it to 2, I only got points in one of them, and you know, Parker, you got your final points, you know, at NAIC. So I mean, NAIC points are crazy good. You know, they did add a new kicker this year. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty interesting. So I think Pokemon's learned and they're starting to respond to the fact that these tournaments are larger, harder to win, harder to place well. I mean, as of now, I'd like to see them add something to like the day 2 part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see day 2 mean something more instead of like somebody that makes day 2 can still get, you know, 140th place versus someone that didn't make day 2 can get 240th place and still get the same number of points. It just makes day 2 not mean anything, and I don't like that, because to me, I've only made 1 day 2, and it means a lot to me. And I think that's a huge accomplishment for someone. So, I mean, but you look at the new kicker, we've got a 2046 person kicker added now. So it looks like basically what they're saying is half the field, assuming you're at the minimum kicker, gets points. I think that's very fair. So the new kicker is 2046, and they can get 50 points if you finish 513th through 1024, which, I mean, you just got to be under a rock to not finish that most, you know you what I'm
say
saying?
That.
I mean, you unless you go that. 0-3 drop. If you go 0-3 drop, I mean, sure. But
also, I mean, I think a lot of the good part about these new kicker limits is now 0-3 drop, you know, isn't even a thing you have to do, right? I think now,
ooh, true. Yeah.
Right, you can go... You know, you can go 5 if you can go 5-4 in some cases and get points.
I got points at 5-4 in Portland. That was great.
That he did.
I think a couple things that gives me a lot of hope for some of these announcements that came out is one, that new kicker at 2046. So if you look back at NAIC, they only had about 1900 players. And the cap for we were guesstimating was around that 2100 number. So
true.
Saying that there's a kicker at 2046, I think that means that we could be opening the door to a much wider invitation, right? Maybe look at like 2500 people at NAIC. Imagine if everyone who wanted to register for NAIC could have registered, what those numbers could have been. The other part is that regional prizing hasn't been announced besides the caches for like first place. So I think that we could even see something now where more packs are being sent out or there's more cash prizes and they're upping it across the board.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I have no say in it, obviously, but I would like to see, you know, just like a small amount, like $100 to just everyone in day 2 or something like that. You had to stay the extra night at the hotel. Like, some people missed their flight to play in day 2. Like,
true.
It's definitely, you know, getting day 2. And then, like Eric was saying earlier, like, sometimes, you know, it doesn't go your way. You get there and, you know, you get 129th and you get the same amount as you know, Jimmy, who went 5-4 and left and got drunk and passed out.
Wasn't that me, though?
Yeah. Eric was Jimmy there, yeah.
Yeah, I was Jimmy there for sure. But I think I saw a tweet from you, Parker, that said, you know, maybe you fall under this third category of the budget competitor this year. And, you know, if you don't do well at Pittsburgh, yeah, or, you know, cities don't come back or they don't change something, that you might not, you know, really grind as much this year. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, so I'm not what you'd classify as, you know, wealthy or anything, but looking at like the budget competitor thing, like if I could go to enough cups, you know, have a couple, like not even like six, but just like a couple like really good showings at regionals, and then, you know, like if I'm able to go to multiple ICs, which hopefully I'll at least be able to go to NAIC and LAIC, definitely is still in the books. I know that, you know, traveling from Orlando is definitely a blessing as well, because flights are typically cheap out of Orlando.
Yeah, they are typically cheaper. Mm-hmm. Another interesting point to hear is like, Maddox, most of your calculations here, they don't include special events. So no. Special events or regional events, they do count towards your best finish limit of six for regionals. But, you know, you do have access to those. And, you know, looking at the airports, you know, that are on the schedule, Charlotte's pretty accessible. San Antonio's pretty accessible. So hopefully some of these flights aren't super expensive. And because they're on the books now, we can start, you know, getting a little bit cheaper flights.
Yeah, exactly. Some of those locations that were picked, even like in the California regionals, you know, Sacramento, you know, fairly, you know, very accessible city, and also LA versus something like Fresno, right? Just some of these picking bigger areas that makes it a little easier to get to. There's still some spots like Peoria that are like, interesting choice. But you know, fortunately, these are hopefully in good locations people can drive to. So that way, instead of having to, you know, dish out, you know, for four plane tickets, go to four regionals, you're able to, you know, maybe drive to two, and then, you know, get a, you know, cheap budget flight to two and go to more of them. Yeah. I know, especially like for Pittsburgh coming up, you know, we're able to get, you know, a bunch of our kind of folks in the Jacksonville community together and able to get a cheap Spirit flight there. And we're splitting an Airbnb and it's going to, you know, come out to a pretty good price. So definitely if you can go with a group of people or find some of those like-minded people, it makes it a lot easier for splitting Uber costs or splitting a hotel, things like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So Max, to wrap it up here, so we got to move on to the next topic here. So we're going to Worlds, right? We're going to Worlds this week, and we're talking about, you know, your route to Worlds next year. The one weird thing we haven't talked about is tiers. And there's going to be tiers that top 16 now will get a round one bye instead of a day two invitation. So does that mean that we think there will not be two separate tournaments and your records may carry over, and you can't get a new deck the next day? Like, what are your predictions on what that format's going to look like next year?
I think for, you know, the uneducated youngster opinion here, but just as I've learned more about this Worlds format, preparing for it, it feels like kind of interesting, right? That's like a sub tournament. It says, okay, you made it to like the initial tournament, but it's almost more like a qualifier for the real tournament in itself. The real tournament being day two, where you have a really tough grind just to make it to the day two tournament to have the chance to win prizes and glory. Right. I think here, if it returns to something similar to what we see at an IC or a regional, it seems a little bit more streamlined with all the other events, just from my initial view. But Parker, I don't know what you think from, you know, playing it more and seeing other Worlds formats.
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly what they're gonna do with it. I would expect it to be somewhat similar to where, you know, I mean, everyone plays day one, but they'll probably have it be like 9 rounds, 10 rounds, maybe. I don't know. And then day two, there used to be a thing that they did where day one you would play standard and day two you would play expanded at regionals. I think that we might see some of that because...
Please, no.
Expanded is back. I mean, I really, really hope they take a look at the format and update like the ban list and stuff, but I think that's also a possibility we might see.
Maybe GLC day two?
No.
I don't think we're that far yet, but I mean, that is a possibility.
I mean, no one really knows how to play expanded. You know, it's kind of on the same level as GLC, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, but expanded is just not fun, whereas GLC is very fun.
So why not make it day two? It's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, No.
I think for expanded, I would just love the Fusion Strike system for 9 in a tournament.
Not once you get KO'd and lose the game on the first turn.
Well, yeah. You know.
Anyways, so that's interesting to think about, but just going to wrap it up here. If you haven't already, please follow our Beach Court podcast on Twitter, or I shall say X now. I don't even know what this thing is called anymore. But our socials at Beach Court Pod. You can follow us there. We'll post updates while we're at the World Championships. So we'll post it there, as well as on our individual socials. Maddox, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MaddoxTCG. I'm rebuilding on my Instagram, kind of recapping the road to Worlds, and I'll be posting stories probably of these two guys in Japan. So feel free to keep up with me there.
And Parker, where can they find you?
Same thing, Twitter and Instagram is squint _PTCG. I'm sure you'll see some buffoonery and some good scenery on both of the platforms.
Definitely. Buffoonery and good scenery. I like
some
that.
Some buffoonery, yeah. That's definitely a big boy word right there.
And it rhymed.
you can find me at eRidgeway6590. I mostly just use Twitter. I don't really use the other platforms for socials that much. But our next episode will hopefully be recording in Japan. We'll see how that goes. We're going to try and record the Monday after Worlds while we're in Japan and still release our podcast on Thursday to you guys of that week. Hopefully, one of us is a champion by the time you hear us next. So
certainly one of us is the champion.
I certainly, right? It has to come from Jacksonville, Florida. We got to put this place on the map.
It's 3 out of 500 chance, right?
I mean, I think it's like 700, right?
Oh, geez.
Anyways, thanks everyone for listening. Until next time, we'll see you then.
See you later.